Today I want to read from the book of Matthew chapter 4. My message today, the series is We Have Overcome. Today I'm speaking on what I call resisting the devil. I've been explaining that again and again, that the duty we have is to resist the devil. We are not here to, you understand my point, be fighting him over things. Sometimes people, Christians, say they want to fight the devil to regain that which is stolen from them. Don't worry about it. The thing that the devil wants to steal is not your car, it's not your money, it's not your wife, it's not your children. What the devil wants is your faith. Are you getting my point? So don't go around trying to fight the devil so as to recover that which he stole. Don't worry about it. This is the duty you have as a believer, to resist his advancement in your life. Now let's continue there. The book of Matthew chapter 4, I'll read from verse 1. Again, just to save time, we're going to jump here and there. The Bible says in verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the devil came and said to him, now this is the temptation that we are talking about, the temptation of Jesus Christ, which we all know. And the tempter came and said to him, in verse 3, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you and all of that. And in verse 7, the Lord Jesus answered, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Please notice this. This is the main thing that's going to form the text of the scriptures that we're going to be studying today. All right? Or the topic we're going to be studying. But before we go on, I want to read something quickly. I want to use that to introduce the message. The book of Isaiah chapter 53. You don't have to open to it. I'll just read it out to you quickly so as to save time. It said, who has believed our message? I like the way King James puts it because the word report he uses there is quite nice to illustrate what I want to, or to highlight the point I want to make this in this introduction. It said, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Then he began to say the report that he had to give. Why did I read that? Please listen to this. I want to start my message this evening. I've begun my message now from this particular point. This is where I'm starting from. I want to start by saying Christianity is not a romance story. That's why I read Isaiah chapter 53. What did I say? It's not a home movie. It's not entertainment. I preached a message sometime last year or the year before here, which I titled The Simplicity of Divine Intervention. Now, what I'm going to explain is this. People like the things that are dramatic. They like things that are very interesting. But that's not what Christianity is necessarily. There's a reason why I'm saying this. My wife asked me a question a few days ago. Somebody talked to her and gave her a testimony. What did I say? A what? Now, let me first tell you something about testimonies. You must learn how to hear them and to understand them. I have heard people tell me that the Lord spoke to them, and listen, the Lord spoke to them. I'm not saying he did not. But when the Lord, when they finished telling me what, or when I finished hearing what they said that the Lord said, I began to, you start asking yourself, is it that God doesn't speak good English? I don't know whether you hear what I said. Is it that the Lord has a problem with English language? Or something? Now, I'm looking at something here. When I was much younger as a Christian, I used to worry, like, is that the Lord spoke to this guy or he did not? But when I began to understand things, and I realized what happened is this. The Lord doesn't speak words. He drops a spirit, a perception into you. You have to explain it according to your own learning, according to your own understanding. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? So if you normally speak bad English, what you will hear will be bad English. It is not because the Lord cannot correct your grammar, but he's not an English teacher right now. He came to discuss something else. Sometimes, this is the way I like to illustrate it. If I told you now, let's assume I invite you for a banquet now. Are you getting my point? And then somebody told you that, the cow that they killed, one of the eyes was missing. You wouldn't think anything of it. You will still eat it. Do you follow my point? But go and read the book, The Happiest People on Earth. You will see that when Demos Shakarian's grandfather, Demos Shakarian's grandfather, wanted to entertain Christians that were coming from across the mountains in their native country of Albania, of Armenia. He sacrificed, it wasn't a sacrifice. You know, in Christianity, we don't sacrifice animals. But to entertain the people, he killed an animal that had a blind eye. But those people believed, listen to this, that you shouldn't sacrifice an animal with blemish. You get what I'm saying? So the man thinking that, they wouldn't like it, he went to hide the head. Before then, he did not believe in prophetic utterances. He did not believe in visions and revelations. The head, the leader of the team, just before the feast started, told everybody, stop. He got up. Only this man knew what he did. The man yet walked to the barn where he hid the head of the cow, opened the sack with which he covered it, and showed the man the head. That converted that man on the spot. He began to believe in spiritual things. Listen to this. That's the only reason he emigrated from Armenia, according to the instructions the Lord had given a young boy they used to call the boy prophet. What am I going to explain? Does that now mean Christians should not eat meat if the cow that was killed had a blind eye? Be careful when you want to make doctrines out of testimonies, out of stories. I hear all kinds of things. People say they got up and the man wanted to pray for people who had financial problems. And suddenly he said, how many of you have not been paying your tithes? And all of them put up their hands. He said, you see, that's why you have financial problems. He said, because the Lord spoke to him that he didn't pay your tithe. I said, it does not mean that's why they have financial problems. It is not a proof that tithing is compulsory. It is just an illustration at that particular point in time concerning the people's unfaithfulness. I don't know what I'm going to explain. There are different ways. You have to be careful. The only way you build doctrines is from the word of God. If you want to use stories, if you want to use stories, your life will become a bundle of confusion. Those of you who are not Catholics or who are Catholics who don't pray the rosary, go and hear stories of those who use the rosary to fight. Yes, those days, my mother will tell you a story of one of her very close friends in their village. Those days, I'm talking about maybe like 80 years ago, when the idolaters will stand there, they will stand on this side and we whip out their rosary. Whip out your rosary here. I will personally fight you. You see what I'm going to explain? But they had a testimony to back that one up. God works in interesting fashion. Do you follow my point? You must learn his doctrines, the word of God. You must learn his what? His doctrines. You must learn the doctrines. What is written in the scriptures? Please, bear that in mind. Now, let me go back to what I was saying. Christianity is not a romance story. What people like to hear is that this person has been sick. And this is the witch that was holding him in bondage. And they will not tell him that the witch confessed. You can confess all you want. It's your personal problem. The first thing I want to check is whether you are even in a correct mental state. You could be delirious, that is one. You could have paraphrenia, that's another. There could be a lot of things wrong with you. And indeed, you could be a witch, testifying in your ignorance to those who are just as ignorant as you are, except that they are Christians. It is possible. You know, I've been saying it to you again and again. I'm a teacher of Christians, not of Boko Haram members. Yes, not of people who don't know Christ Jesus. I teach Christians alone. I give you the counsel of God for your life. What I'm saying this is that people come and ask you questions. I told you last Saturday I went to preach somewhere, a young guy after I finished preaching came to me and said, I dreamt. I saw the face of my mother and gave me an egg to eat. And then since then, my chest has been something in my chest. I said, let me give you a medical word for it. I told her straight. The medical word is globus hystericus. Now, go away from here. Nobody give you anything to eat. I told her straight that what's in your chest is anxiety. I learned that when I was learning psychiatry. Don't come and confuse me. Fear woke you up and it's stuck in your chest. You're not going to use yours. I didn't pray for her. I told her, in case you don't find egg to eat during the day, that's a good place to eat eggs during the night. Now, move it from here. Somebody said, your daddy said, ah, tell pastor for me, I dreamt my husband wants to kill me. I said, tell him, tell her, your husband is not trying to kill you. And number two, peradventure he's trying, he will not succeed. I have a reason why I'm saying all of these things. Because I was thinking that, my wife asked me a question that a few days ago. Somebody told her a long story. The story was captivating. Did you hear what I said? Captivating. A witch confessed. We have been, listen to this. Let me tell another story like this. How many of you ever watched TV Joshua on TV doing some of those is gymnastics? I saw one day. Listen. One man was, hey, I possess him. That is, the man talking is the one possessed too. The spirit was supposedly talking through him. I said, his church will not grow. He's a pastor. I'm looking at him like this. Oh, you foolish Galatians. A bunch of confused people. And everybody was watching. Yes. It was 1982. We entered his nose. And from there, we entered into his brain. Tell the story from now to tomorrow. I won't believe it. Pastor Banga, this is not true. I don't want to discuss that at all. What I want to tell you is that in your life, it's irrelevant. Did you hear what I said? In your life is what? Irrelevant. The problem, this is where I'm going. Those stories are usually very romantic. A witch will come and confess that they held somebody in bondage. Now listen, the person held in bondage, I don't care, I don't know, I don't know you, I don't know her, I don't know it, I don't know anything. It's you here that I'm talking to. You who are a Christian, I'm talking to. Don't ever be impressed by that story. Do you know why? You can never be held in bondage by such people. I can never be. You see, I'm broadcasting this thing for everybody to know. Because I'm not joking. I'm not. It's like telling me, you're asking me now that, is it ever possible that one day they will say that Pastor Banky is pregnant and he delivered? The only pregnancy I have are the visions of God. Amen. And one day I will deliver great things on this earth. You understand my point? But as for human being, I gave that job over to my wife. That is to conceive and deliver human beings. That's her duty, not mine. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? And I'm so certain. There's no discussion about it. In the same manner I'm telling you, no witch can hold me down. It's not a discussion. It's not possible. Why? Because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care the story you want to tell. People like to tell stories. By the time somebody finished giving my wife the whole gist a few days ago, the gist was long ago. This happened. My wife came and said, my husband, please, I just need you to explain. I said, now story. Did it really happen? I think so. It's possible. But listen, listen to what I want to say. If a witch, an occultist, whatever they are, gathered together and said they held you in bondage, and indeed you were in bondage, you were sinning all your life. As far as God is concerned, the witch didn't hold you in bondage. Your sin held you in bondage. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, when they spoke to Job, they said, peradventure your sons sinned, and God gave them over to the power of their iniquity. Iniquity has power. Do you get what I'm explaining? The same thing they said to Eli. Your sons, their iniquity is what's going to kill them, not the power of the enemies. You know what I'm explaining? You can hear any story from now till tomorrow. They say, we said she will never bear a child. Say, Pastor, see, they said that it's the witches that said so. I said, don't tell me the story of the witches. Go and call the person who they said about. Are you getting my point? And let me tell the person to his or her face that if indeed the power of these clowns is working on you, you are walking in sin. Because that's why churches gather and say they are deliverance ministries. Please, with due respect to those who use such names, be careful what you practice. I don't think it is right for Christians to gather, say, all those of you are bound by witches, come forward, tonight is the night of your deliverance. If I'm the ministering pastor, your deliverance is slap each one of you. If you're a Christian, you're born again, your tongue talking, you're filled with the Spirit, come forth here. If you think you're bound by witches, as you come, pour on your face. You are very stupid. Go back to your seat. Go back home, go to the coven and scatter it. That's when you get that most people are not bound by any witch, they are not bound by any wizard, they are bound by laziness, they are bound by stupidity, they are bound by deliberate disobedience to divine order. Christianity is not Luman stories. I have to keep saying these things. Why I'm emphasizing this? Because you will go home and hear stories. Praise the Lord. Hey, tonight is the night of my freedom. I went for Apostle Ajayi Koko's meeting. And he said, he just called me, oh, you, this young girl, there's a young girl here wearing red and wearing purple, and then you have a gold tooth. It's possible that you are wearing red, purple, and you have gold tooth. Come forward. They said that you will never make it. Oh, there are 5 witches in your village. Listen, it's an unnecessary word of knowledge. Tonight is the night of your deliverance. Tell the pastor, Pastor Banky said, the day you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were delivered. The witches know it. Maybe you are the one that don't realize it yet. So they are hoodwinking you. Do you understand my point? Yes, they are pretending. And part of the reasons they will have power is when you hear the testimonies and you respond. Ah. Brother, have you heard? Heard what? They said tomorrow is the day the witches said they are going to kill you. We were praying this night. There was a revelation. One sister began to see that the witches said 26th of February as the day of your sacrifice. Let us pray. If you get on your knees, you will die. The man who brought the news warned him. The woman who brought the news, tell her, be careful. Before I exchange your head for my own, carry your bad news and get out of here. And go and tell your vision seeing brother or sister and the witches he saw in the vision that as long as the Lord lives, I will live and I will not die until I have fulfilled the purpose of God for my life. Tell them they are not worth your prayer time. It's like you telling me that the rats in my village, rats, physical rats, have decided that Pastor Banky in Enugu will never drive a car. I should donate that testimony to Alibaba. Basket Mouth. Oguz Baba. Those are the kind of people that need such stories. Not me. You don't walk into my presence and tell me in a vision you saw witches want to kill me. As I am right now, I know they want to kill me. I don't need to testify. I cannot be preaching against the power of the devil like I am doing, and the devil does not want me dead. If you were the devil, what would you want? For me to prosper? I am hated the most already. The devil can't hate me more than he hates me right now. But I refuse to live in fear because I have been delivered. They have ganged up. All the Ogbonis said they don't like what they are saying. Tomorrow is the day of your sacrifice. If you get on your knees, you will die faster that way. The Lord said to Isaiah, Isaiah said like this, the Lord spoke to me with a strong, listen, open it. He said, don't call a conspiracy what these people call a conspiracy. Neither fear you their fears. Those of you are still going to give offerings for the sin of your ancestors. That's why you will never be delivered. You are insulting the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard people say it before. You will give a special offering to cancel all the negative words that have been spoken against your family. Something is wrong with your head if you respond to such calls. How can money cancel what has been spoken against your family when the blood of Jesus could not? Have you believed in vain? One brother went once, went for a meeting, holding somewhere in Enugu here. And the pastor said, you are going to give an offering today to cancel for the sins of 3 generations. I said, wait. You never heard, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole earth. Look at how my brethren are perishing for lack of knowledge. The same man that spoke then, he said, if you sacrifice a goat against me, I sacrifice a Mercedes Benz. And I said in my heart, oh foolish Galatian. Listen, the blood of Jesus has been shed once and for all time to defend me and you, everyone that believes in him, against all such nonsense powers. I forbid you in the name of Jesus Christ. Never hold a prayer vigil because of the works of the devil against you in your personal life. If you want to make petitions for other people, we're not teaching that one now. There's a procedure for it. There is a procedure for it. And you see Christians run up and down. Especially when it comes to this sacrifice part. You will use a special seat to cancel all the witches, all the voices. Let me tell you the truth. The pastor only wants your money. If he's indeed a man of God, he has enough sense to know that doesn't do anything. If indeed he's a cult preacher, he should have read the Bible long enough to know that does not do anything. He should have read the scriptures enough for him to understand that once the blood of Jesus was shed to wipe away your sins, Jesus said it like this. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. The devil needs a place to hold in you. And the blood of Jesus washes away everything that you should have held in your life. The only thing that holds a believer, that I've told you, the only problems, the 3 sources of believers' problems are 1, ignorance. Ignorance of the word of God. Ignorance of God's promises. Ignorance of God's order. There are things you just don't do. You are breaking divine order. Like I gave an example the other day. David refused to kill Saul. Even though during their time, it made sense. Nobody would have blamed him. But he knew that it was against divine order. There are commandments that are expressed in the scriptures. I tell young people, you can't start any money and your parents are not first in line to receive from you. There are things that are just clear cut in scriptures. Shouldn't be an old man, no matter how little you are earning, be running down home every time to be explaining your problems to your father for him to be bringing money. You are begging for a curse upon your head. Manage the little you have, cut from it and go and give him. I don't care how rich he is. There are some things that are just in line with God's order. You have personal testimonies. Personal testimonies. There are places God says you shouldn't go. Your problem is because you continue going there. There are calls you should not take. Your problems are you are still taking those calls. Those are personal testimonies. You break those orders, you bring problems into your own lives. That's number one, we said. Number two, all right, is, of course, the just recompense, which is extension of number one, all right, of disobedience to these orders, fairly commandments, all right, express commandments and personal testimonies. And number three, there is what is called the trial of your faith. There's what? The trial of your faith. Come and listen to the message. We preached over the last few weeks. The point I'm just making is that the witches are not part of your problem, so. They are not. What did I say? They are not. We're going to read Isaiah. Let's just leave it. Because of time. Now, I don't know why. Let me just continue my message today. I said I'm turning to my message today what? Resisting the devil. What I've said all this while is, please, let nobody's stories. People have told me that, yes, they saw it. The prophet went to the village, and they were chasing one monkey around the house. That monkey is the source of the problems. Leave the monkey alone. Go about your business. If you have been delivered, it will die by itself. Let me ask you a simple question. Who tore the veil? Which human hand tore the veil that was separating the Holy of Holies, all right, from the rest of the temple and the rest of the world when Jesus died on the cross? No human hand. The thing by itself went, the Bible says, not from the bottom to the top. It tore from the top to the bottom as a sign. As a sign that that Holy of Holies is no longer holy. As a sign that the presence of God has left there and is now moving to the heart of everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I saying? This is how you will know whether that tree in the village is the cause of your problems. Once you started singing praises, did it start dying? If it didn't start dying, you don't need to go and kill it by yourself. I don't know whether I hear what I said. If you are walking in righteousness in Lagos, where you are, and there's a tree they said in the village is the reason why you were in bondage. Don't join them to go and cut it. Dance in your house in Lagos. Continue your business in Lagos. Continue doing what you are doing. If that tree is indeed, if indeed it was planted to keep you in bondage, it will die by itself. I'm telling you, if it doesn't die, the story is a lie. That you are free is not in doubt. Are you getting my point? We are checking the veracity of that story, whether it is true or it is false. I was telling my wife when we were discussing, they said this happened, then this one happened. I said, it's a story. Did it really happen? Possibly. But as far as I'm concerned, it's unimportant. Let me tell you something. You know, my wife asked me the other day, they said, what's that thing you said again? Oh, I said it here before. Kokura's lock. You know what they call Kokura's lock? Because she wanted to remember. I was playing with her. I called it Kiloska's lock, all kinds of things. He said, no, when you say it, I will know it. Finally, I said, Kokura. I said, good, it's Kokura's lock. You know what's Kokura's lock? Kokura is the city that they wanted to bomb. Because of smoke and cloud, they couldn't see clearly. That's Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Hiroshima bomb had been dropped. The next bomb was going to Kokura. When their fuel was about to finish, and they couldn't return with the payload, that is the bomb, they had to discharge it somewhere. The first alternative was Nagasaki. So they went to Nagasaki, and you know the rest of the story. And that bomb exploded, and so many thousands died in Nagasaki, and the place was, you know, rendered sterile for the next, God knows how long. The people of Kokura did not know that God said, no, not here. The pilot could not see. The smoke was too much. The cloud cover did not relax for them, and the fuel was draining. After circling and circling, and they saw that bombers were beginning to get up to come and attack, they ran away. And next place they went to was Nagasaki. So the Japanese now have a saying, or human beings now have a saying, they call it Kokura's lock, that many evil passed over your head. Are you getting my point? And you are not aware of it. When that occurs, they say it's Kokura's lock. Let me tell you something. Your life is a Kokura life. Forget the home movie. The home movie makes it appear as if every time witches gather, they succeed. The truth is that it is not true. They make it appear that every arrow of the enemy aimed lands, then you have to cast it out. As a matter of fact, most of them get into the heart of those who shot them. Do you follow my point? Listen to me. If you're a believer in Christ, just say amen quickly. Everyone that has been fired at you, you did not know about it. So don't let any testimony sway you. They said, don't think it's only the man they planted something against that is in bondage. Every unbeliever is in bondage. And don't think only those that nothing was planted against is free. The freedom is dictated, I said at the beginning, not by the mercy of the devil, but by the power of God. You get what I'm saying? I am free not because everybody loves me, well, because what can they do about it? He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Please sleep in peace. Oh God, I'm begging in Jesus' name, sleep properly. Don't wake up at night and rebuke the witches in your neighborhood. It's unnecessary.
Job never rebuked anybody. You are aware of it. But the witches talk to themselves. So every time we sacrifice against this guy, one of us dies. We're 50 when we began. Five sacrifices, five deaths. Before we are decimated totally, let's leave that guy alone. Let's kill people who are under the same bondage, servants of the devil together. Christians have a way of insulting themselves and insulting the blood of Jesus. A man of God died. They say a witch killed him. You should be ashamed. Even if it's the truth, you should shut your mouth. A whole man of God. Witch killer. And you believe it. Nobody can take any child of God. No human being. How much more a true servant of God? No human being. If he dies, it's an arrangement between him and his God. Are you getting my point? Yes. David said something. I've not even sinned against Uriah. I've not sinned against Israel. I've not sinned against Bathsheba. Against you alone have I sinned. I don't know what I get my point. I killed Uriah, but it's not my problem. I took Bathsheba from my husband. She's not my problem. Who's my problem? About God. Only you. Against you alone have I sinned. Listen, you commend your ways towards God. You're free. You're free totally. If the Son shall set you free, you are what?
Free.
Free indeed. I said at the beginning, who has believed our report? It's the number one way you resist the devil. Be careful what you believe. You hear what I said? Be careful what you believe. You start celebrating lying testimonies. Ever since that old woman did that man like this, his business has not done well. What you did not realize, it was that 4 weeks before that, that's when he began, he finally became rich enough to get a second wife. You did not know. All you saw was that somebody did him like this. You know Africans, we love such things. You go see. Wait till I never see. He said, since that time, his business has not been the same. His business has not been the same since that time. Oh! You know, there are things you must never do. You know, they have a practice in traditional, well, I don't know whether it's all parts of Yoruba land, but parts of Yoruba land, I'm sure. You know, there's what they call, there's a saying, like if you want to give, if somebody's begging for something now, like, as me, you are eating, and I say, oh boy, I beg, give me something to eat now. And you are eating a whole bowl of rice, you know, with plantain. You now cut half of the piece of plantain and give it to me. You know, the way children would do. So we have a saying in Yoruba land that is called Ajegba Makpamije, that this witch take, don't kill me. There's a story behind it. The idea is that if you are eating and the witch is looking and you don't give her to eat your dead meat, so people routinely, you know, some people practice it. Before they eat anything, they will cut small, throw away, so that the witch can eat it in case the witch is there and they are not seeing it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes. Listen, you must be careful that you don't dabble into devilish and satanic practices. From now on, I command you to stop throwing food away, offering nonsense libation to dead gods. There's another practice they have on that side too. A traditional Yoruba man never leaves a god, you know what I mean? God as in G-O-U-R-D now. You know, like a, what do you call that thing? Calabash with a neck. They never leave it standing if it's empty. If it's empty, it's never, even something practiced down to like a keg, you know, the keg. They don't leave it standing. Once it's empty, they turn it on its side. You know the reason? Traditionally, the idea is that Ogun, the god of iron, he moves around. And, you know, darkness is a terrible thing. That guy that they call Ogun was a real human being, I hope you know. Yes, just like you have Greek mythology, we also have African mythology. You get my point? Yes, it was a real human being that existed. Very valiant guy, but was a drunkard. It was a drunkard. He had one little antisocial rascal that used to follow him. It's his name that Yoruba people now gave to the devil issue. And you know what? They canonized these two people and began to worship them. Now, he had a hot temper. Ogun had a very hot temper. He will slaughter you for irritating him. So if he found, there was once he was traveling, they said, and he used to like to drink, I told you. He now saw a container of palm wine, and he was so happy when they grabbed it and wanted to drink. Just like Jesus Christ, there was no fruit on the fig tree. So the Lord Jesus cursed the tree. But this man did not curse the God and the palm tree. He found the man who owned it and killed him and his wife and everybody around. So the traditional practice, therefore, is don't invoke the wrath of Ogun. Once the thing is empty, put it on the side. Listen to me. If you want to invoke the wrath of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, continue that practice. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of the ways you resist the devil, buy that calabash or keg of palm wine, drink it, drop it there, do like this, come now. If not so, you dey useless. Now empty, tell the devil like that, come first. No, so you go die first. Let me tell you the truth. He's a roaring lion trying to scare you. When you put on there, refuse to be scared. I'm telling you, if you are hearing this and you are around that area, from now on, I command you in the name of Jesus, stop inviting the wrath of the true God by practicing things that actually show you are afraid of false gods. Are you getting my point? One day I was talking to a man, he wore a vest. Somebody died, an uncle, a mother, or somebody died, and they wore a vest. Listen to me. With the person's head crested on it, you know. So we're just talking like, and I never finished this burial. Why are you still wearing this? Imagine me as I dress like this. By the time I remove my tie, my shirt, you know, of course, with this jacket, everything is gone. You now find out what I'm wearing under has the face of somebody buried 2 months ago. And I say, why? He said, that's the traditional. As if you must wear the thing for a length of time so as to prevent. If you do that as a Christian, you are invoking the wrath of the true God. All those little sacrifices you offer, just in case. Let me tell you the truth today. You are just in casing, ensuring that. What English am I speaking here? Ensuring that trouble will come upon you. Listen, the devil, I told you, is not a nice guy. You are not free because of his mercy. You are free because he can't do anything. So don't do anything to try and beg him for mercy. The traditional Yoruba people used to offer sacrifices to Eshu. Eshu was another god they served, who today, the only likeness of him in the scriptures is the devil. So they gave his name to the devil. Why? Anytime there's trouble, there's smallpox, there's a plague, there's famine, they believed it was his work. Do you understand the point? Therefore, periodically they offer sacrifices to appease him. Anybody that's appeasing this devil, not understanding that the power belongs to God, is begging for judgment as a Christian. Once he has spoken, twice I have heard this, that what? The power belongs to God, doesn't belong to any devil. I'm not pouring anybody libation. They say cola does not speak English. The cola that can't speak English, you had better go and enroll in primary school. Do you understand what I'm explaining? Listen, there are things you have to be careful how you live in life. Derek Prince talked some time ago. I read some of the messages. He called it Satan's traps. Satan's traps. What did I call them? You buy a newspaper, your face goes to horoscope section. Aries, Taurus, which one? Capricorn, Pisces, madness, insanity, confusion, bondage. You read it, and you open your eyes and project the day. Think in light of what is there. It's called soothsaying like the Philistines.